to Edmonds, and how about Albert Pujols?
That, of course, is Albert Pujols' dramatic ninth-inning three-run homer in Game 5 of the National League Championship Series. Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. For the next 25 minutes, we're going to be talking with Rick Horton, former Cardinals, White Sox, and Dodgers pitcher, about the National League Championship Series. He's on his way to the ballpark. And then in about 15 minutes, we're going to play a little audio that we pulled off of ABC News about a Christian sitcom. I mean, a genuine situation comedy that is explicitly Christian, that has a Christian message embedded in the comedy. The guy who made this thing has been shopping it around for almost a decade. He finally got someone to pick it up. And I'm wondering, if this thing was on television where you could see it, this Christian sitcom, you'll hear all about it, would you be watching it? That's for Open Lines coming up in about 15 minutes. Rick Horton is a regular guest. He's also area director of the Greater St. Louis Fellowship of Christian Athletes. He joins us from his car on his way to Busch Stadium. Rick, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Todd, it's always great to visit with you. And by the way, count me in. I'm watching that Christian sitcom.
So, oh, you are? Okay.
Get me in on the early tally. That'd be something. I love comedy, so just count me in.
All right. We will see what the rest of the listeners think here in about 15 minutes, but your
okay.
vote is duly noted, Rick.
Thank you.
So how big will Pujols' home run be, not only in the history of Cardinals baseball, but also in the history of Major League Baseball?
I think it depends on what happens tonight and tomorrow night. I think Pujols' home run was one of the most dramatic moments I've ever been around in baseball, and I was around it by watching it in my family room with my wife and my son, and we just went bonkers. And, I mean, just it was almost storybook the way it happened, but I think that it's going to take its place in history depending upon whether the Cardinals win the series or not. I think if they lose the series, it's another great game and another great home run, but I don't think people will be talking about it the same way. The way sports is, you know, the spoils always go to the winners. And so I think if the Cardinals win a pennant, I think that home run is bigger than Ozzie Smith's home run and bigger than Jack Clark's home run.
You know what struck me? This is just the human angle on it, Rick. And that was the look on his face right after he connected with the ball. There was just like a moment where time stops and he's looking that ball, you know, careening its way nearly out of the park. And he has a look on his face like, well, I knew that was going to happen.
He did, didn't he? like he just wasn't letting us in on it, but I was planning on that, and it just happened. Well, you know, I found it really interesting. In fact, a number of people have been talking about how kind of subdued the Cardinals were. I heard David Eckstein in a post-game interview say that, you know, the game wasn't over yet. I mean, we were excited about that moment, but we still had three outs to get, and Pujols said the same thing in a post-game interview. So I think a little bit of it was that. A little bit was just maybe controlling his emotions and, you know, not kind of losing his focus. You know, one thing about Albert, and, you know, Albert is a lot of things, but one thing he is one of the most focused athletes I've ever been around. He's got that look on his face, that scowl, and, you know, there are times where he'll walk right past you and not know you're there, but, you know, that's one of those things that I think helps him be one of the best hitters that really has ever been in the game of baseball.
Okay, your thoughts on tonight's pitching matchup?
Well, I'm a little concerned that they've got a guy that's got phenomenal stuff, probably the best stuff in the National League, in the top five anyway, in Roy Oswalt. I think he's just, you know, he's just very tough to beat. I think the Cardinals, to me, have an edge, not only because they're playing at home, and Mark Mulder, I think, you know, certainly a top pitcher also. I don't think he's of the ilk of Oswalt in terms of his stuff, but I think that momentum shifter, despite what the Astros are saying about it's not going to bother him, I think the lady doth protest too much. I think they keep saying it's not going to bother him, but, you know, how does it not bother you when you're one strike away from winning the pennant and Pujols goes up and does what he does?
Is it true that you need to get power pitchers like Roy Oswalt that you just mentioned early?
I think so. I think Oswalt is a guy, unless he's a guy that makes a lot of mistakes. You know, power pitchers, to me, that you didn't have to get early that I've been around would be Nolan Ryan, for example. When we played against Nolan Ryan, whether I was with the Cardinals or the Dodgers, you know, we had a sense that we were going to beat him no matter how long it took, because sooner or later he would make a mistake in the middle of the strike zone and he would walk a couple guys, and we'd get back in the game. Oswalt's not that kind of guy. He's not a mistake-prone pitcher, and so I think the first couple innings will be pretty telltale as whether or not he's got his good stuff or not. And, you know, he's also the kind of guy that once he gets the lead, you know, he just looks, he's just so nasty. I think you start to kind of lose your confidence and maybe start to think that the game may be over, much the way you normally feel when Brad Lidge comes in the game.
So what's wrong with the Cardinals' offense?
Boy, that's a great question. I think if I had that answer, I would call up Hal McCray right now on my way to the ballpark and tell him to tell his guys to make that adjustment. But, you know, I really can't explain it. I think, you know, Grzelanik's not hitting well. Nunez has been in a tailspin. Some of that's just, unfortunately, you know, bad timing. Guys go into those kind of tailspins at different times of the season. You just hate to have it happen in October. You know, I think they can get out of it as quick as they've got in it. I think the more they talk about it, Todd, towards the end of the year, the more it starts to sink in that, you know, maybe I am in a slump and maybe this is going to be prolonged. And, you know, any athlete will say that the worst part of a slump is what happens between your ears. And the reason it's a slump is you start losing confidence. So I think the Cardinals are probably tired of talking about that with the press. And Hal McCray and Tony La Russa have a job of really just telling them, you know, look, you had the best offense in the National League, just forget about it and just go out and show it again tonight. And I think that's what they're going to try to do. But it's tough to do in October when you got a lot of scrutiny on a national level.
Folks, we have Rick Horton for about another 10 minutes here on Issues Etc. If you have a question or a comment about tonight's game in the series, call now 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Rick, you've played in Busch Stadium during the postseason. What's the atmosphere like down on the field?
Oh, it's a phenomenal place to play anytime, really. And, you know, Busch Stadium's been the source of a lot of special moments for me, including the last day of the regular season a couple of weeks ago when we had all of the past players on the field. I mean, it's just a magical moment. I think, you know, interestingly enough, I think players will tell you that as great as the fans are, sometimes they're not quite as loud and as, I want to say raucous, I'm not sure what the right word is, but they're not the rabid fans sometimes that you see during the season, interestingly enough, and every player will tell you that sometimes you will get more of the kind of the corporate feel at the ballpark during a playoff game. I think it has to do with the increased ticket price as well as, you know, the fact that Major League Baseball actually gives out a lot of their tickets to other teams also. So, you know, there are people from all over the country that are going to be at Busch Stadium tonight. So it's actually a little less loud than it is during the regular season. But, you know, if the real fans turn it up a notch, I think it's still just an unbelievable atmosphere.
Well, my producer, when he was we were talking Sunday night about the Pujols hit, he said, you know, this the Astros Stadium goes from being one of the loudest ballparks in the league to being very, very quiet after that hit.
Yeah, I heard people say, I mean, it was so quiet you could hear a pennant drop. I heard somebody say that. I thought, you know, I didn't make that up. I can't take credit for it, Todd, but I'm just a messenger.
All right, I want to ask a question about the stadium, though. What is it significant at all that this is among the final games in this stadium, that already already it's almost like the wrecking ball is ready to come for Busch Stadium?
I think it really kind of depends on what your level of sentimentality is. I think, you know, I think there are people, current players that maybe aren't as in touch with the, you know, the longevity of what Busch Stadium and what it's meant to the organization. You know, certainly Mike Shannon has a lot of probably emotions because he's been there from beginning to end. I think a lot of fans feel that way. There are probably a lot of people in the front office feel that way. The owners of the Cardinals probably feel that way. But, you know, I think for the players and some of the coaches, it's like, you know, well, they're just building a new stadium and, you know, kind of so what. But, you know, certainly for me, I have a little bit of a sentimental side. So I think that makes it a more maybe poignant moment in time, these games, and even coming to the ballpark tonight thinking that this may be the last time that, you know, there is a game at Busch Stadium. I don't know if the players are thinking that as much as maybe some of us fans are.
Are they going to let the Astros play that song deep in the heart of Texas?
I have talked to three different people today that say that if they never hear that song again, they'll be happy. I mean, they are so tired of that song, deep in the heart of Texas. But you know, I guess if you're an Astro fan, you know, and you've got to withstand sitting in that goofy field at Minute Maid Park. You know, I guess you ought to be able to listen to whatever music you want to.
Well, we had a caller on the line who couldn't stay on the air. He wants to know, how would you compare Tony La Russa as a manager to Whitey Herzog, especially in postseason?
Oh yeah, they're two decidedly different people. Whitey Herzog, who I actually played for, and Tony, I've gotten to know as a broadcaster. But Whitey, you know, as a player, you know, I admire him tremendously. I still do, because of the way he managed people and got the best out of people. They were totally different in their approach to competition. Whitey felt like a relaxed ball player and a confident ball player was a better ball player. Tony feels that a player under pressure is a better player. And, you know, I don't know that it's a definitive answer as to which way is right, but I do know that they manage in totally different ways to do that. Tony, you know, looks at you, kind of gives this little stare at you, and likes to keep you off balance, likes to keep you guessing, and he does that with his players. Whitey would spend more time talking about fishing than he would baseball with most of his players, so you would be kind of relaxed. And I don't care if it's the seventh game of the World Series, he would do everything he could do to make you feel relaxed. And so I think their strategy of the game is kind of remarkably similar in that they were both innovative, both are innovative people, and did some things that nobody else did. You know, Tony's a little more outside the box and a little more on intuition, where Whitey was more very, you know, tactical and kind of like the chess player that's two moves ahead of the other guy. And so, really, I think they're both great managers. I think it's interesting that Whitey was picked by Cardinal fans as being the all-time manager at Busch Stadium. I think his longevity and Bennett's had something to do with that. And you know, the jury's out. I mean, if Tony can win with that pressure philosophy in the playoffs, then you know what? It works.
Okay, your prediction on the outcome of tonight's game and the series ultimately?
I think the prediction tonight is that I will undergo a lot of stress and that the Cardinals will win 4-3. That's okay. How's that for a prediction? And I think if my prediction is correct, I think if the Cardinals win tonight, they win the series. I can't say that I'm, you know, going to take it to the bank that the Cardinals are going to win tonight, but because Oswald will be very tough. But I think, you know, Mulder's obviously the big key. The starting pitcher always is. Particularly the Cardinals bullpen hasn't been great over the past couple of weeks. So I think Mulder is really the key to this game.
Two final things, especially at a time like this. Baseball it's no secret, is a sport that has superstition woven through it. It's a long tradition.
Right.
So how, especially at these pressured times in the major leagues, how do baseball players who are Christian deal with the superstitions and the temptation to the superstitions at times like this when a lot is on the line in a single game?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think there's a distinction you have to draw as a Christian athlete between what is kind of a habit that I feel comfortable in, that gets me mentally, helps me become mentally prepared to play, and a superstition. You know, the superstition, certainly we're implying that there's some power in that, and, you know, we can use God in a superstitious way even, and in a way that's probably not appropriate. So that's kind of the other side of the line. But if a player, you know, feels more comfortable in a certain T-shirt, you know, Albert likes to wear his Jesus T-shirt, well, you know, there's no power in that T-shirt, but if he feels comfortable, I mean, what's wrong with having a comfortable Albert Pujols? So I think that's the line, Todd, that every player, a Christian player, has to try to draw is, you know, obviously the giftedness comes from God. The outcome is probably not the most important thing in the world, but me giving my heart today and giving my talents to the best of my ability is really what the bottom line is. And if you can do that, then when the day's over, you'll say that you've been a good and faithful servant in God's sight. And, you know, attaching power to your lucky socks or your lucky, you know, lucky bat or whatever, that's certainly a dead end road, because, you know, if that bat breaks, you're in trouble. And if somebody steals your socks, you're in trouble. To me, the difference would be what's a comfortable habit and what's a superstition.
Okay, and I understand that you have a Fellowship of Christian Athletes event coming up that features the great Tommy Lasorda. Tell us about it.
Yeah, we're excited about it. Tommy's going to come in and actually provide some entertainment. You know, he's going to be, you know, he's just a wonderful speaker and a good friend of Todd Worrell and mine. We both played for Tommy and he agreed to speak. Actually, Kent Bottenfield's going to come in and do worship music as well. And I'll be presenting the work of FCA. And we're going to hear from some of the coaches and kids involved in FCA in St. Louis, where they'll talk about, you know, how Christ has influenced their sport or their lives, on their campuses and in the work that they do as coaches. And, so that's FCA's work basically with high school athletes and coaches. But Tommy will be there to entertain us. It's going to be at St. Louis University Bush Center on, Thursday, November 10th, at 6 o'clock. And, we have tickets available, tables available, and we'd love to have folks come out just to hear about what FCA is doing in our public schools and our private schools in St. Louis to help encourage athletes in their faith. And, again, Tommy Lasorda will be, fun to be around, and so will Kent Bottenfield. Kent does a great job of leading a large group in worship, not entertaining, but leading us in worship, and I look forward to that also.
Folks, for more information, check out the Fellowship of Christian Athletes of Greater St. Louis website. It's stlfca.org, stlfca.org, or call area code 636-827-7100. Rick Horton is a former Cardinals, White Sox, and Dodgers pitcher and area director of the Greater St. Louis Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Rick, thanks for being our guest.
Todd, always great to talk to you and love your show and appreciate the time with you and root for the Cardinals tonight.
Yes, and I hope you make it to the ballpark in time.
I hope so. Thanks.
All righty. Bye-bye. Okay. From one form of entertainment to another. Now, sport is certainly a long-standing form of entertainment, but for about the last 50 years, the bread and butter of television entertainment, especially during prime time, has been the situation comedy. You know what this is like. It's 22 minutes, all wrapped up nicely and neatly. You laugh about every 2.5 seconds. It's all very... I mean, there are people who spend their lives pitching ideas for situation comedies in Hollywood and that never see the light of day. And some of these things last for decades. I'm going to go home tonight. It's Wednesday night. There's one that I watch. It's appointment viewing of the Wilkin House, a situation comedy. What if it were a Christian? What? I can switch back and forth between that and the game. Baseball is an incredibly slow game. I told you I have better things to do. You know, I've got a remote. What is this dance you guys do in here? The Wilkin dance, it must be. I'm being mocked, not behind my back, but right in front of my face. All right. Yes, I will be switching back and forth. And unless it gets interesting, I'll be watching my sitcom there. So, it's only a half hour anyway. What if it were a Christian sitcom? What if it were not just something like Seventh Heaven, where, you know, they're kind of Christian and every once in a while you see them in a church that's very generic and they talk about God and maybe, occasionally mention Jesus. What if it were explicitly Christian? What if it were come to Jesus, give your heart to Jesus, commit your life to Jesus kind of a sitcom that attempted at the same time to be funny and have an explicitly Christian message? All right. Here's the story. It comes from ABC World News tonight. It's about this Christian sitcom. My question for you after we listen to it and after the break, would you be watching it?
Who is it? You told me you're alive! God Almighty!
They're calling it the first show of its kind.
We need to surrender this to our Savior right now, you and I.
And believe us, it's not your father's sitcom. Well, not that kind of father anyhow.
Lord, we thank you that we can come and do a job and do our best to your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's do it.
I want to make no mistake about it, that when I say this is a Christian situation comedy, that we claim Christ is our Savior.
A Christian sitcom. That might seem an oxymoron. But on Pastor Greg, they see the medium, comedy, as the best way to communicate the message.
Everybody rise.
Ha ha!
this is not a Hollywood production. It's being taped just outside of Pittsburgh. The brainchild of Greg Robbins. He's the creator, writer, director, and star. Robbins was once an L.A. actor and model who was born again. He says the character of Pastor Greg is very much autobiographical.
He was once your average guy living in the world, womanizing, drinking, gambling, that kind of thing. And through a series of comical but real events, he surrenders his life to Christ.
And the progressive themes might raise some Christian eyebrows. In one episode, Pastor Greg discovers he has an illegitimate daughter.
My daughter. You're my daughter.
Robbins has been shopping the show to television executives for 9 long years. Secular execs didn't see much funny about Christianity, and Christian execs didn't see much Christian about being funny.
It right. sounded like you were sort of betwixt and between and trying to sell this.
Yeah, you get the look. I mean, a Christian what? I mean, there was a 3-year period I thought my name was, you're nuts.
But the president of Christian Cornerstone Television bit. He thinks the social climate is right.
We wanted to make a statement that I think is appropriate at this time in history.
Is your goal, though, conversion?
I've chosen service. So it's my job to go out throughout the world and spread the word of Jesus Christ. Does the show do that? I'm not sure.
Jim Young, who plays the church office manager on the show, has a background in Christian theater. He hopes people will laugh first and then listen to the message.
I think often when we're laughing, that's when we're open to hearing things in a different way.
Cornerstone says the sitcom will start in 100 markets around the country, some Christian and some secular. And he thinks that number will grow. Robbins freely admits his goal is more than laughter.
I believe that the masses aren't going to look and go, well, they're claiming Christ as their Savior in it. I'm not going to watch it. No. They're going to watch it. They're going to like it. And then also, they're going to see that Christianity is not what they thought it was.
Can you do this? Can you pull this off? Really? A clear Christian content and a sitcom at the same time. I mean, there are a lot of obstacles to be overcome on this, but the big question I have for you is, would you watch this show? You just heard a little bit of it, and if you saw the video, I think the production values would need to be improved quite a bit before it was kind of network quality, but as a general concept, story of a guy who's had a checkered past, becomes a Christian, and it's a sitcom about his life. They'd have to get rid of all the pie in the faces and the slapstick humor, too. Yes, they would have to, you know, kick it up a notch. But would you be watching a Christian sitcom if it were actually available? Or is this a moot question because not such a thing could ever occur in the universe in which we live? An explicitly Christian sitcom. Would you be watching it? Open lines 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Call during this break.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Jesus, our Savior, said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such as these belong the kingdom of heaven." It's never too early to begin instructing your children and your grandchildren in the truths of the Christian faith. For our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, we're offering a series of 6 children's books called Follow and Do. This series is a catechism for small children. The Follow and Do series includes a book on the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, Baptism, Confession, and the Lord's Supper. This set of 6 books is $33.99 plus shipping and handling. For more information about the Follow and Do series, go to our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October. Or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040.
The Creation Message, it restores lives.
Answers with Ken Ham, one of the writers and editors for Creation Magazine. Well, Ken, how is the Creation Message restoring people's lives?
Well, you won't hear much about this from mainstream media, but the message of creation is helping to rebuild the lives of many ex-prisoners. Let me give you an example. We frequently get letters from prison chaplains who thank us for donating material to their libraries. Through our prison ministry, we donate prison packs. They include some of our most popular books and DVDs, booklets and so on, as well as copies of Creation magazine. Well, here's a portion of one letter from a senior chaplain at a prison in Florida. Quote, "We recently received your valuable donation of materials. Your generosity is a real blessing to the prisoners here who are trying to know and understand their Creator. Only God knows the impact your materials have on the men." He then went on to write, quote, "The public is rarely informed of the success stories of ex-prisoners. The press would have us believe there are none, but praise God, this is not the case. Of the inmates who are devoted to God upon their release, only a small percentage of men return to the system as repeat offenders. In fact, the rate of success in devoted followers is well above any other program offered to the inmates during incarceration." End of quote. Wow, the message of Creation, it knows no boundaries.
The Creation message is becoming one of the hot topics in today's culture wars. Find out more when you go to our website, AnswersRadio.com. Read Ken Ham's free booklet at AnswersRadio.com.
Dr. Peter Scare on how Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, is unique.
We take seriously the words of our Lord, you know, that we are to be called to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We are faithful to the Scriptures, and we are faithful to word and sacrament. We are both evangelical and Catholic. We are evangelical in that we believe the Word of God to be true, that we believe the Bible, and we're not going to back down from it. At the same time, we're Catholic. We recognize that this church has been around for 2,000 years. We also recognize that God is continuing to work through means, that He's working through the water of baptism, that He's working through the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we take seriously our mission to be a light and salt to the earth.
For more information on Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, go to their website, ctsfw.edu, or call them at 1-800-481-2155.
We spontaneously are doing good works. If you read Matthew 25, remember how the Christians are all surprised how they serve the Lord? Because whatever you do to the least of these, you do unto me. So one of the marks of doing a fruit of the Holy Spirit is that we are unaware of it. As soon as you become aware of it, you may begin to boast about it, and then it falls into mortal sin.
Law and Gospel with Tom Baker, weekday evenings at 6:05 on AM 850 KFUO.
One place I imagine where they care not the least, maybe a few of them, but care not the least about what's going to happen tonight in Busch Stadium. Maybe a couple of the professors who might have graduated from the St. Louis Seminary care up in Fort Wayne, Indiana, at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne. A place where men go to train for the pastoral ministry to learn the simple tools of what it means to be a pastor, like distinguishing law from gospel, preaching Christ and Him crucified, how to care for souls. It's all there at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. They're a proud underwriter of Issues, etc. To find out more about them, their toll-free number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155. It is a Christ-centered, cross-focused seminary there in the heart of the Midwest. Oh, speaking in the heart of, if the next 25 minutes is open lines. And I have ready to go, almost ready to go, the song that Rick Horton said he could live, he said three other people said they could go the rest of their lives without hearing it. Maybe you feel that way too. But I'm from Texas, and you see, this song holds a special place in my heart. I'm not a Houston Astros fan. I'm not. I come from Dallas, so that would be against my religion. It's Rangers people we are, but deep in the heart of Texas is a song that strums the heartstrings of every genuine Texan for reasons unknown. And I'm really serious when I say that. Open lines for the next half hour of Issues, etc. Would you watch a Christian sitcom? Before the break, we played the audio from ABC News Tonight. This Christian sitcom that after a decade of being pitched around has finally been picked up by a minor Christian network and in production. It's about a man who had a checkered past, and now he just kind of goes through his everyday life, enduring the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. And it's all very funny. At least the producers of it say it's very funny. Would you be watching a genuinely Christian sitcom if it were on TV? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Do you think it can be done? I'm not talking about getting something like that on TV. Do you think that the two can mix? Something that is genuinely Christian and genuinely funny. It has to be both to be called a Christian sitcom. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Oh, another question, by the way. Do you think that Christian and sitcom just don't go together? That's another way of putting it. Or is the whole question moot because such a thing would never be allowed in the world of television today? It's Open Lines, Issues, Etc., 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And if it's anything you want to talk about, but if you don't want to talk about this, I can play Deep in the Heart of Texas. I can do it. And I will. I promise. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I have to admit, I was a bit skeptical about the whole Christian sitcom thing when I first saw it, and not any less skeptical after seeing the ABC News Tonight feature on this Christian sitcom. Let's go to the phones. Marie's up first. She calls from her car. Marie, welcome.
Oh, thank you. I have a question for you. Why do you think this would not work? I know it would be very tricky, but if Christians don't have any humorous situations in their family lives, then we're the dullest and most depressed of all people. So I have seen a comedy team, a man and wife, do some very funny scenes about married life and even Christianity and getting ready for church on Sunday and having chaos occur and then showing up at church with his big fake smile, and obviously the message was, it's funny. So I was wondering why you thought it would be so difficult.
Well, I just have my doubts. I don't think it's impossible necessarily, uh-huh. But I have serious doubts, and I'll enumerate them for you as time goes by here. And thank you very much, Marie. You know, let's be clear about what we're talking about. It's not just Christians doing comedy or not just Christians on sitcoms. That doesn't make it Christian. A Christian doing comedy that has no real explicitly Christian content. It just happens to happen, just happens to be happening to Christian people. That's very different from a sitcom that is designed to be both explicitly Christian in its message. That is, it has a message of Jesus Christ as the Savior for sinners embedded in the comedy. Can that be done to effect? I mean, it can be done poorly. Anything can be done poorly. Can it be done to effect? Look, I am a great lover of comedy. I can sit and my wife will tell you, I could just sit and laugh at sitcoms. I'm pretty selective about what I think is funny, but I can sit and laugh at them all night. And we have to admit that most sitcoms, they range from neutral to something that Christians have a hard time watching in good conscience. So someone has a brilliant idea. Let's do a sitcom that Christians can watch. And while we're at it, since if we do it well, non-Christians will be watching too, let's put a Christian message in it. Here's one of the obstacles. I'll just raise it for your consideration. Will there come a moment in every episode where the kind of the sappy music has to play and you have to have what I call a Full House moment? You know that old sitcom Full House with all the children and the dad and all the hangers-on all living in this house in San Francisco? And there always comes that kind of moment of hugging where, I mean, sometimes it did just degenerate into group hugs. And everyone learns their lessons, and the children all say, gee, Dad, I guess you were right. And Dad says, well, just don't do it again. And then the sitcom comes to a nice and kind of satisfying emotional conclusion. It's the Full House moment. It gets a little preachy. The Full House didn't. It just was sappy. But it gets a little preachy. Could it? I mean, in this case, could a Christian sitcom with explicitly Christian content that is supposed to be funny always have to include that preachy Full House moment, where the lesson must be learned or the message must be delivered? And that could be a killer, you know, in terms of its success and its effectiveness as a comedy. All of us get annoyed, don't we? All of us get annoyed when people who are paid to entertain us try and teach us. when we all get annoyed when we can detect a message coming through loud and clear in something we're watching just to escape from the everyday realities and have a chuckle in the evening. And when sitcoms get preachy, we get annoyed. There's an obstacle for you. 505-7850-1-800-730-2727. Now, even if you approved of the message being preached, it has to be funny to be a sitcom, doesn't it? You know, when Seinfeld came out, if you've ever looked at anything about Seinfeld and the whole enterprise that was that long-playing successful sitcom, when it came out, they had a rule. The writers had a rule. No hugging, no learning. They set out to make a show about nothing, and they succeeded. And it was funny. At least I think it was funny. My daughter thinks it's boring as watching paint dry, but it was funny. No hugging, no preaching, and it was always funny. The ultimate formula for the sitcom. So should Christians even make an attempt, or is this an oxymoron, Christian sitcom? And if there were such a thing, would you be watching it? 505-7850-1-800-730-2727. And again, I'm not just talking about Christians who happen to be doing comedy or Christians who happen to be starring in a sitcom. You could probably find those already. I'm talking about a sitcom that has as its premise a clear Christian situation, a clear Christian message, and manages, if possible, to be funny. Our call-in numbers, it's open lines, issues, etc. for about the next 15 minutes here to the end of the show. 505-7850-1-800-730-2727. Let's talk with Steve, who joins us from Kirksville. Hi, Steve.
Yeah, just because I don't want to hear that song, I'm calling you. No.
I might yet play it.
Yeah. You hit on something about people being preachy, and it kind of reminds me of, let's say some church has some evangelical reach out that they want to do, and then you go there and you're just hoping that everything goes right, and then the preaching comes, and I can't imagine that it wouldn't end up into a moralism versus a law gospel type of message, and that would be hard to really, I think, bring the gospel in that type of a situation. Maybe it could be done, but I think that would be difficult, and I always shudder when I hear Christians want to do something because it seems like there's always an ulterior motive instead of just relaxing, and why not just have some kind of entertainment that you're not trying to prove a message, and it still can be a good thing for a Christian to produce, and I'd rather it stay in that realm, but these people might have something to offer, so I'm not sure. I just thought I'd throw out my thoughts on that.
Okay, Steve, that's very interesting, kind of along the line of my own doubtful thoughts as well. That's what I meant by preachy. I mean, it always ends up with a little moralism, a little lesson to be learned. And that annoys me when they do it in ordinary sitcoms. I think it would annoy me all the more if they did it in a Christian sitcom for two reasons. Not just because they're being preachy, but because it misrepresents what Christianity is really all about. It turns Christianity into just a moral lifestyle. Even if they talk about Jesus, if the end point is always, what have we learned from all of this? Kind of the to-do, don't-do takeaway message, it misrepresents Christianity. In fact, in that story we heard from ABC News tonight, one of the creators of this Christian sitcom was asked whether or not they could get the message of Jesus Christ as the Savior for sinners into these episodes. And he said, honestly, I don't know. Do you do it? I don't know. One thing I'm sure they're getting in is little moral lessons. What about the rest of you? 505-7850-1-800-730-2727. Or would it be just slightly more one of these lame skits that you see in church? Now, my church doesn't do these, but a lot of churches do these dramas. Sometimes they even substitute for the sermon. And they usually turn out to be kind of campfire morality plays. And everyone ends saying, yeah, I learned a little something there. That was great. Yeah, that was good. Learn to be nicer to my neighbor. Good. Now, what's for supper? Those lame skits that you get in church. I mean, you may have a bigger budget, might have four cameras, but if that's all it's going to be, is it worth watching? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Bruce is up next. He calls from his car. Hey, Bruce.
Yes, Todd. I don't know. Good art is good art, and bad art, you know, is bad art. I think if you had a sitcom that acknowledged God, that'd be healthy. It'd be something different, because you don't normally see that in a lot of these sitcoms. And, you know, if you could get an honest look at people and their lives and how God intervenes at times, you know, in our lives and helps us when we don't deserve help, helps to guide us. I mean, if it's done well, it could be interesting, I think. But it should be countercultural, because there's not much, you know, that acknowledges God that's on TV today.
Yeah, that's true. I'm just wondering how it doesn't end up being kind of a seventh heaven. I'm thinking about Highway to Heaven or Touched by an Angel kind of a thing.
I think it's got to be honest, you know. I mean, I could do my life, and it would be quite, you know, strange at times, just some of the things that happen and the characters I deal with. And you try to reach out to people in Christian love, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. You know, sometimes it backfires.
All right. Thank you very much, Bruce. You know, I'm quite fond of doing this. When I teach or when I speak, I like making the folks laugh. And I have some small skill at this. I can make the folks laugh. And I usually talk about anecdotes from my own life. And sometimes the humor is religious, but the audience is also religious. You see, they're always in on the joke, and they understand it. But remember, the sitcom is being broadcast to a broad audience that's not in on the joke. And there are things that Christians find funny that regular people don't. It's true. It just is. Would the show be a real portrayal of sin and its seriousness? Because much of the fodder for comedy in the sitcom is sin. It is. And like it or not, we laugh at it. I mean, we even got Joel Osteen laughing at sin in his sermons. Please, no Joel Osteen sitcom. Can you imagine this one? Everybody Loves Joel? That's what I'd name it. Everybody Loves Joel, and Joel loves everybody. Very boring. Bob calls from his car. Hi, Bob.
Hi. I'm a little confused, because are you talking about something that's actually being proposed, or this is just hypothetical?
No, there's actually one of these sitcoms, at least it purports to be, in production. We played an ABC News feature, a little package about it just a few minutes ago before the break. It's been picked up by kind of a minor Christian network, but it's probably never going to see the light of day. But it actually is in production, yeah.
My thinking is, I look back to old shows like Leave It to Beaver and Andy Griffith's show, and those were clearly Christians. They made no bones about the fact that these people went to church. They showed showed people doing Christian things. You knew they were Christians, and yet they didn't hit you over the head with it, but all the time you knew what was behind their life was Christ.
Well,
and I'm not so sure that those sitcoms wouldn't work again.
Okay. Well, I think they still work, obviously, because they're still in syndication. I could sit and watch the Andy Griffith Show endlessly. It was funny. It still is funny. Those things still have staying power. Now, but you mentioned Leave It to Beaver. The funniest character on Leave It to Beaver was Eddie Haskell. And he was the one of most questionable character of all of them, and he was the just knock down, drag out funny. Really. Absolutely hilarious every time he was on the camera. Were those sitcoms portraying Christians as happy, wholesome families who went to church, yeah, but didn't really need to, because they didn't need Jesus? They were all practically sinless anyway, especially the parents. I mean, the kids were still kind of in that formative age where they were almost perfect, but and the sins they committed were not really. I mean, come on. Roland calls from his car. Hi, Roland.
How are you doing?
Doing well. You don't want to hear the Deep in the Heart of Texas either?
Well, no, I just wanted to say that that Straight from the Pit of Hell and Smells Like Smoke.
What do you mean?
That horrible song. It sounds best when played on the devil's flute.
Now I have to play it. Go ahead.
You know, I think there is an edge to Christian humor that I appreciate. If you think about, you know, Brother Martin, he was a pretty funny guy.
Oh, yeah. He could have been a stand-up comic anyplace.
And I don't think anyone's going to dispute that he was a Christian. You know, two things I recall is, one, my favorite Luther quote, and it may be misappropriated to him, but it sounds like he would have said it, and that is, beer is proof that God has a sense of humor.
I've never come across that one before.
I've come across that a couple of times. I can't say that I can confirm it went to him, but I can hear him in my mind's ear saying that. But the other thing is, if you think about the Luther movie, there's that one scene where it comes over Luther's, or one of the student's shoulders, the camera comes over, and it shows him sketching a picture of the ass playing a harp.
Yes.
When he was ridiculing the Pope. That's pretty funny stuff, especially for that time. But the problem is, you really have to be tuned in to theology and Christianity to make that stuff funny and understand it. Because truth is what drives comedy. Unfortunately, when you get the Monty Pythons or the Life of Brian and the, you know, BBC doing Father Ted, it's more about the Christian failings than the Christian life. What's funny is the drunk priest who always has to be drugged from place to place in Father Ted, or, you know, owning the man who lost the sandal in the Life of Brian, you know, being similar to all the reliquary that was in the medieval church.
Well, you've made a good point there, Roland. Before I let you go, any plans to come to the 10th anniversary banquet on November 5th?
What, are you offering me tickets?
No, I am giving you my heartiest invitation.
Yes, I will call and order tickets tomorrow morning.
Roland, thank you very, very much. Good. Glad you're doing that, and hope to see you there as well as the rest of you. What we're talking about, of course, is the 10th anniversary banquet for Issues Etc. 10 years of Issues Etc. Right here on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton. It is a banquet wherein it's not just going to be eating and drinking. I mean, there'll be lots of that. Uwe Simonetto, he said he's going to be coming earlier today. We're also going to be hearing from Larry Rass there. Dr. Norman Nagel will be there. Pastor Matt Harrison. Daniel Preuss will be there. Dr. Lewis Brighton. Dr. Martin Noland. Dr. Ron Feuerhand. Dr. Bob Weiss. People that you have come to know over the airwaves of Issues, etc., will all be there in the flesh. You can sit with them, have a nice, relaxed, and elegant evening with us to celebrate 10 years of Issues, etc. For more information, and you can also meet Roland there. You've heard him quite a bit, too. For more information, 314-505-7836. That's Jenny Williams' number here at the station, 314-505-7836. Or you can email Jenny at jennyw@kfuo.org, jennyw@kfuo.org. Now, Roland makes a good point, and that's, and I'll try to encapsulate it in this way, and then I'll go back to the phones. Roland's point is, you know, much of comedy, period, as we cannot conceive of comedy, I don't think we can as fallen creatures. We cannot conceive of comedy as it will be in heaven. I mean, will there be humor in heaven? Because so much of our humor is based upon our fallen condition, is the foibles and folly of our fallen condition. Would we be funny if we weren't sinners? Would we have funny situations if we weren't sinners? Now, see, I would say yes. I think heaven is going to be full of humor. But we can't imagine what it's going to be like, because we cannot imagine humor apart from our fallen condition and sin. Jason's calling from his car. Jason, welcome.
Thanks for having me on. I guess as I think about this issue you're bringing up, it seems like a lot of preaching tries to do the same formula. It tries to soften the heart or the mood of people with humor, and then we'll shove the gospel down their throat too. And I'm wondering, a lot of people that aren't interested in church, don't even go to church for that, so I don't think they're going to watch the show. So I don't think if it's overtly Christian, it'll be successful. But I've seen in even shows like Everybody Loves Raymond, I've been amazed at some of the themes that they've brought up that aren't overtly Christian. You're not going to learn anything about Christ being redeeming me from sins, but you will learn about the sinful nature of your kids. There was an episode that they, you know, they realized all the bad stuff they had done when they were growing up, and they realized they were going to have no control over their kids.
Oh, yeah. Jason, thank you. Yeah. I know exactly the episode you're talking about, and you're right. They managed to get it in there, and Patricia Heaton, who is one of the stars of that show, is a Christian. She is. You know, Christians can actually go into the secular arts. I'll get to that in a second. Jerry calls from West County. Jerry, welcome. Thanks for being so patient.
Hi. I recently saw the movie The Gospel,
yeah.
And lo and behold, the list of credits listed Almighty God as the first one.
Really?
On the list. And the story itself might suggest the prodigal son and maybe some other themes. And Jesus was quite central in the singing and in acknowledging who should be running whose life.
Hmm. Jerry, thank you very much for the call. Thanks for being so patient. You know, there's still obstacles in my mind, doubts in my mind as to whether such a thing could be successful. I do know what Christians can do. I don't know if they can produce a successful sitcom. In fact, I still doubt it. That would be explicitly Christian and funny and successful. But I do know this. Christians, you know, if you have the ability to write humor, to deliver it on stage, you don't have to do it in the Christian ghetto. You don't have to do a Christian version of it. You can go out into the world and do it in the world of secular arts. You can do it there. If you have the skill to write for a sitcom, and that's just a very elite cadre of individuals, you don't have to sit around waiting for your ship to come in and write for a Christian sitcom. You can go do it for, if you are, good art is good art, you can do it in the world as well. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., Greg Laurie will be interviewing him and talking about the interview tomorrow on the program on the successful Christian life. That's tomorrow on Issues Etc. Don't forget our 10th anniversary banquet coming up November the 5th. That's a Saturday night. We'll be celebrating 10 years of Issues Etc. with many of our regular guests right around the same table. Seating is limited. 314-505-7836 or jennyw@kfuo.org. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM 850 KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.